there, and welcome to the Chic Perspective Show. I'm Elizabeth Gordon. Thank you for joining us today, where we are teaching you how to succeed with style. Today with me, I've got Lorraine Shilvers, who is the CEO of Delaney Consulting, LLC, which is a professional services company that provides financial expertise to businesses. Lorraine, welcome to the Chic Perspective Show.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth. Very happy to be here.
Yes, so I'm excited to find out more about the company because you started the company a couple years ago now. One year, 2 years?
We're just in our second year now.
That's right. I remember reading that it was your one-year anniversary not long ago. Congratulations, by
Thank
the
you.
Way. So tell me, why did you decide to start your own company?
There are a lot of reasons. For me, from a personal perspective, I have 20-some years of finance expertise in helping companies large and small. And some of the companies that I have helped over my career have been quite substantially in a really bad hole. And with the economy going into a downturn last year, it was very evident to me that I needed to get back to my client, to the companies that really needed on-hand help and attention and detail. And so many companies out there, because of the economic climate, are really re-energizing themselves. And at Delaney, we help them grow profitably. So many companies today have a desire for growth, but really don't know how to grow profitably and don't know how to look at the bottom line of cash.
Absolutely. And that's what it really comes down to at the end of the day. And it's become even more evident in our current economic circumstances. So give me an example of the types of holes that you've been able to dig companies out of in the past, because I know you do have a wealth of experience in this. What were some of the things you did before you started your own company?
Well, going back to my early career, I started, as many people in finance do, in an audit role. In the U.S., that would be described as a CPA, helping companies with their reporting, helping them make sure that they're doing the right thing in the right way. And I very quickly expanded into what we would describe as the finance function, actually going into industry, working for manufacturing, distribution companies, and some entertainment companies. And I very quickly found that my audit experience enabled me to see lots of different companies and how they did things very well. But also you have a chance to see how they do things very badly. And some of that is just the leadership elements of running a finance organization. As people look at my profile, the largest hole, if you will, is that I was part of the restatement team for WorldCom. We emerged from bankruptcy after about 3 years of being the biggest and largest fraud and bankruptcy in the world. And there really was no bigger hole at the time in the world. Enron had just gone belly up. And WorldCom, their auditor was Arthur Andersen. And for those listeners that may recognize, Enron brought down Arthur Andersen. And there were many of us on the inside of WorldCom that felt that if Enron had not, WorldCom would have. And quite frankly, a lot of the basics right. that we see at small companies were that they were not focused on reporting. They were not focused on the controls. And that is needed no matter how small or large your company is.
Oh, absolutely. And it's scary what kind of a hole you can get yourself into if you take your eye off the ball or if you don't have competent people really giving you the right kind of advice and pointing you in the right direction on how to best manage the financial aspects of growing a business. So why did you decide, having worked at some really high-level executive positions at Fortune 100 companies, why did you decide to move into being an entrepreneur?
Well, there were a couple of different reasons. I had been with a partner with the largest executive services firm providing CFOs and controllers. And very candidly, I had risen to a level of being, if you will, a manager of people that were involved with the client day to day. And I wanted to get back to being with the client myself. And the partnership model did not really hold itself out for that in quite the same way. So with starting up my own company, as with many small business entrepreneurs, they have a very specific reason. They want to get to the customer. They have a particular idea, whether it be creative, technology, or service-oriented. And for me, that was a need to help companies grow from a financial perspective and to bring the wealth of knowledge that I have of well-run companies and poorly run companies and to be there hand-holding them. And today, our clients range from recycling firms to manufacturing firms to retail outlets to those in entertainment, those in high tech. And many of the companies have along at the base level very similar crises or very similar issues. Leadership, how do you employ the right people? When do you know to bring in new partners? When do you go look for new equity? What is the right form of investment of capital? Even among those thoughts of the day for a finance person is how do I make payroll? And the right. realm of needs for that finance executive can be very, very basic, all the way down to running the payroll run, to how do I implement a system, to how do I go raise 10, 20, 50, 100 million in capital.
And those are really important and prevalent questions of a lot of companies out there, because it runs the gamut from the day to day, how do we make it through the week with a payroll, and then going out to how do we really double the company? How do we triple it? How do we grow exponentially? So very interesting that you span that whole realm of financial questions that a lot of companies face. So a lot of people in business today talk about failures and why their own failures created the person they are today. It's sort of a common storyline, if you will. What failures have led you to this point? And what could our listeners learn from this?
That's a very good question, Elizabeth. In terms of some personal failures, I would say that one of the main elements of my career has been to be true trusting. Very often, small entrepreneurs get to a size where they have invested their own personal finances or maybe those of friends and family, and they get to a size where either they need to have somebody else manage that money or they need to have some other people be part of those investment, and you give up a little piece of your business, you give up equity or you give up control in the business. What I have found in the past for me through my own experiences as well as those of others is that you shouldn't be too trusting. One of the biggest failures is to have an economic downturn or some kind of a trip, if you will, in your own business, create the opportunity for somebody else to come in and take control and then basically make those decisions and remove you from the picture. While that is a very extreme example, the experiences that I have had in terms of that have been perhaps less severe. But I would also say the experiences that I've seen of others, again, not focusing on controls, from an accounting and finance perspective, I hate to say it, but a lot of the accounting and finance function is looked at as the evil necessary act that has to be done. People don't really enjoy the conversations with the accountant. They don't look forward to tax time. And quite frankly, who does?
Right. Especially the entrepreneur, because they're usually more enthralled with the more sexy aspects of the business, the marketing or, you know, the new ad campaign or new product development and those types of things. But accounting and making sure that everything is functioning in the right way, I mean, that's what really makes a business sexy at the end of the day, is making money.
Yes, it is. And the failure that I see small companies again and again fall into the trap is that they have been started by somebody who's either creative in a technological field or some kind of maybe an electronic field or engineering field. They have an idea. Maybe they've created a product and they may know about the manufacturer, the design. They may not have the skills for sales and marketing. They may not have the leadership skills to know when to give up the control. They may be able to take a company to 3 million or 10 million but not take it to 50 or 100 million. And that's the time when often you look to a company such as Delaney to be able to help you grow. And very often part of the focus of a company that is growing is actually engaging somebody that will tell you what you really don't want to hear, but you need to hear. And sometimes it's don't go buy that expensive car, reinvest the additional $20,000 into a new marketing campaign. Or it may be to recreate compensation structures for your leadership team in order that you can get through the hard times. Very often the focus of finance is backward looking, and the focus really needs to be forward looking.
That's a great point, absolutely, because that's when it really becomes powerful, not when you're looking at it from the rearview mirror, but when you're actually looking at where you're going and how you're going to get there. So today, I mean, the economy is still down and people are beginning their plans for 2010. I mean, hopefully that's on everybody's mind this week. How are we going to start 2010 with a bang? So since Delaney Consulting provides financial advice to companies, what advice can you give the small entrepreneur?
I would suggest that companies take the time for the new year, not only to make personal commitments that might be a New Year's resolution, but to bring themselves and their management team and their staff, even the janitor, bring those people in and say, what are we doing right? What are we not doing right? And making sure that the experience of the entire team is brought in a collective, almost, if you will, a brainstorming session. In the finance and accounting terms, we call this a planning cycle. And some companies are large enough to be able to have a very formal planning cycle. Perhaps they look at it monthly and do forecasts. Some companies may not be of that size yet. But make sure that you look at 2010 with a new, fresh light. I tend to speak to companies and say, you may be looking to personally chip off 10 or 15 pounds of weight from your physique. Look at doing the same from your business perspective. There are some surveys that have been done recently by companies that have actually asked for their staff or their employees to make suggestions, perhaps to put an anonymous letter in a mailbox as they walk out of reception. One of these companies actually had a suggestion from an employee that as they walked down the hallways, they saw so many bright lights, and it was really offensive to them. So they made a suggestion that they removed every other light bulb, and they actually saved $400,000 a year. And so this person was able to make some creative suggestions. And those are the kinds of suggestions that, as I say, bringing in the janitor. I recently spoke with a CEO who suggested, very wealthy Atlanta-based CEO, who said that he talks to everybody in the company, but the most important person he speaks to is the janitor. And he's a manufacturing company that deals with fabrics and making clothes and garments. And he said that they had changed their production lines, and he had a cup of coffee one afternoon with the janitor, and the janitor said, you know what, I'm busier these days. You must have changed the designs because I'm actually having to clean out more trash. And so the CEO went back and looked at the design structure and the layout that they had made and realized that they had increased wastage and therefore brought in inefficiencies to their business. And he had said to me, if I hadn't spoken to that janitor, I really wouldn't have known.
Isn't that fascinating? It's amazing the kinds of ideas that are hiding in every level of the organization, and bringing in that kind of perspective and including that, you can come up with some really amazing ideas. That's great. So, Lorraine, tell me, what makes a smaller company such as Delaney different from all the other consulting companies out there?
That's a very good question, Elizabeth. Large companies have tremendous amounts of ability to bring in support. They have a lot of, if you will, what the Titanic brought to the best ship in the world. But in the same regards, the Titanic cannot be nimble, cannot adjust to either economic times very quickly, cannot necessarily adapt their people to a new environment. Small companies such as Delaney, we have the ability to bring in financial expertise that is very unique to the client. If the client is a retail outlet, we make sure that the CFO, the controller, or the staff accountant that we bring in has very relevant experience. We bring them in on a contractor basis so that it is very unique to that client. We keep our own overheads down because we use contractor employees, if you will. And in that way, we are able to bring in that reduction of cost to our clients. We believe very much in what we call the three-point touch. Anytime we touch anybody in business, we want to help them in three different ways. We believe that for our own benefit. We, for example, salespeople that we have on board, we make sure that any sales activity, that we also make sure that we introduce clients to other people within our network that would help them. We make sure that if there are any training classes that we are doing that would benefit them, that we perhaps first introduce them on a free basis so that they can become acclimatized to us. And in that whole regard, we are really looking to bring tremendous value to our clients.
That's excellent. It sounds like you're hitting on a lot of the hot buttons that a lot of small companies have in their financial needs and also their overall business growth needs.
And you know what, Elizabeth? Some of what we bring into our business has been generated from the experience we have in the Fortune 1000 companies. Large companies have something called lean manufacturing, where they have the processing people to be able to look through touch point at the entry of the business when an order is taken, whether it's procurement department or an individual perhaps in an accounting function, or whether it's a line manager making that first order all the way through to that eventual sale and cash collected from the customer. We make sure that we make that efficient for our client base, the companies that we work with. And in the same way as a GE actually has teams of their internal consultants doing that, a small company doesn't have that capability, but they do have the ability to bring somebody in on a unique one-off basis to help them be very efficient. We did that last year with a company that was asking us to help them reduce what they brought us in for was they didn't understand their financials on a month-to-month basis. And the CEO and the COO was finding that the numbers fluctuated quite violently, and they really did not understand why. But more importantly, they didn't know what was driving the profit versus the loss on a given month. And we said to them that we felt that they needed to prepare some analytics of their financials. And when we first went in there, they looked at us and thought that that was a very scary thing to do. They had grown, they were a one-year company and had already grown to being $10 million of revenue per year for that first year. And they were growing so fast, that was part of the reason they brought us in. That is as much a challenge, but we brought in one statistic, and that was to create an analytic review each month of their payroll cost divided by their sale. And they are a recycling company. And for them, that one statistic enabled them to look at when the overtime markups were costing them something in the range of 10 to 20% premium. And they were able to bring in actually a contract workforce that they flexed in and out on a weekly basis. And by doing that through a staff recruiting agency, they were actually able to minimize the premiums they were paying and it reduced their costs by about 5%. That's immediate. Hits the bottom line next week.
Wow, that's an exciting result. Now, Delaney, I know, is also placing a significant effort towards education. Tell us a little bit about Delaney Learning and why the company's focusing on education.
Education, we believe, is very important. As we have talked about in a business environment, so many entrepreneurs today are starting in business and they perhaps don't have any expertise or exposure to any finance or accounting or maybe even any kind of business school. And it is very important that there are certain key terms that when you speak to your CPA for taxes or when you go and speak to your bank manager to try and ask for that loan or to explain what your situation is, it's very important that you have certain elements of understanding as a CEO or somebody that is running that operation. You understand certain terms.
Right. You need to know the vocabulary, right? Just like people are going to judge you by how good your vocabulary is in conversation, your bank is going to judge you on do you know the right terms and words and programs that are out there to even talk about to come across as a real savvy CEO.
That's right. And we have created three programs for 2010, one of which is a one-hour program that is really an introduction. It's a taste of what Delaney provides in a half-day and a one-day full program. The half-day program looks at the basics of accounting, if you will, the ABCs of accounting, looks at controls, and also looks at revenue recognition. The full day of accounting and finance education looks into accounting financial systems. It looks into more aspects of finance, planning and the analytics, looking at how you might budget and forecast for the remaining year, looking at that on a monthly basis, and looks at the controls in a wider element, taking what might be a cash-based accounting system into an accruals-based accounting system and helping on that half-day training really expand it so that after a full day, the savvy CEO now can understand the basic terms. They can actually do debits and credits. We put them through a bit of a ringer of revenue recognition when that sale can occur. Very often, the surprise at the end of the year when you're talking to your CPA isn't the fact that you didn't make profit because you didn't make sales. It's the fact that you're not allowed to recognize that revenue in that year.
Right. There's a lot of things that you have to be aware of. And when you're faced with those types of transitions, it's so important to really learn what's going on and start from that ground level view and then build up from there. So you've also started a new program for CEOs called the Delaney Think Tank. There's a couple other CEO groups in Atlanta. I think there's actually several. Tell me why you decided to focus on this.
It's very important for us to be able to reach an audience that really wants to learn and grow. And with that growing base, CEOs, if you think back to perhaps those CEOs that are in their 60s, 70s today, they grew up in an environment perhaps where their father took them to the golf club and introduced them to the right people if they were of that background. Today's 20s and 30s and 40-year-olds didn't have that same environment. We talk about the Gen X, the Gen Y, and the Millennium child. They grew up in a very different environment. And so we're creating a CEO roundtable for those that are in their 20s, 30s, and 40s that really have had a taste of being an entrepreneur, but they don't have their own advisors. Very often if they go to that person that perhaps might be that father figure or that more senior entrepreneur, they may get an experienced answer that worked 10, 20, or 30 years ago, but they don't necessarily come at it from a perspective of that we don't know what a fax machine is. There is a whole environment of people that today as entrepreneurs don't have those network of relationships and don't within those network of relationships have people that are talking to them on like terms. And so we're creating this CEO roundtable, not to exclude the 50 and the 60 and the 70 year olds because we still will have them, but really to create relationships for that younger entrepreneur that will 20 years from now have 10, 12 very sound CEO advisors that, quite frankly, will be their own advisors.
And having those kinds of relationships and advisors is so critical to the success of your career and the company that you're building. Absolutely.
Yes.
What a wonderful program. Now, a large part of your outside life is has to do with supporting women and women-centered causes and organizations. It's a passion that you and I both share. And you are on the board of Zonta, part of Zonta International. Tell us about the work that you do to support women, Lorraine.
Yes. Zonta International is a 501c3 based out of Chicago, and we have been going about 90 years. Obviously, I've not been part of it for the full 90 years, but we are an international organization affiliated with the United Nations and CARE. On a local level in Atlanta and Georgia, we help women that perhaps are disadvantaged. We work with Partnership Against Domestic Violence. We work with Refugee Family Services, two groups that are focused on women that are going through certain troubles in their life and very candidly are looking to get back onto an even footing. At Delaney, the expertise that we bring to the table to help them and that I bring is to help them get back on a financial footing. Not only do we go and help the children and do social education, but we help the mothers gainfully get back into the workforce. We also have programs that we work with. Human trafficking, unfortunately, is a very big issue for the state of Georgia, within lots of international circles of people coming here. We are helping first get the message out as to what human trafficking is, particularly as it mostly affects young women. Often drugs and violence are involved, and some of the less salubrious aspects of life, and helping those women get rehabilitation, some of whom may only be 6, 8, 10, or 12 years old.
It's a very serious problem, and I really commend your work in that area. Now, Lorraine, I like to ask all of my guests on Chic Perspectives to share a chic tip. What advice can you give women who are at the beginnings of their career and deciding whether to start up their own company?
Firstly, I would say take the risk. It is if you have identified a plan that you believe will work, don't take the risk in an uncalculated way, but actually go out there and do some test marketing, do some surveying in terms of friends, family, and some organizations perhaps that you could reach out to. Find out whether whatever it is that you're selling, whether it's a product or service, actually has a market before you go and sell. And you'd be surprised that those first people that you go and speak to may actually be your first customers. Go make sure that there is a market and help them determine what your sales price is, and then focus on cash, cash, cash. And when you've forgotten about that, go focus on cash.
Great advice. Thank you. That was a wonderful one. Now, we all have preconceived ideas of accountants. I know next to lawyers, you know, you hear a lot of jokes about the accountant at the party. Don't get stuck talking in the corner with them. What does a CFO do in their time off? Tell us about your world.
My world, I enjoy the outdoors. Someone once asked me when I was young in my audit days, why are you a CFO? And my chic comment to them, or my quick comment was, I like counting other people's money because at the time I didn't have any of my own.
And nice.
In the outside life, get out, enjoy the sunshine while it lasts.
I like it. Well, it's been such a pleasure having you on the Chic Perspectives show. Thanks so much for joining us today. Lorraine, what's the best way for people to get in touch with Delaney or somebody from the company if they're interested in finding out more about the services that you provide?
Thank you also, Elizabeth. This has been a great opportunity for me. If companies would like to find out about us, they can go to our website, www.delaneyllc.com.
Wonderful. Thanks so much. This is Elizabeth Gordon signing off from another episode of the Chic Perspective Show. Thanks so much for joining us today for learning how to succeed with style. To check out more Chic Perspectives interviews, go to chicentrepreneur.com. Thanks so much for tuning in today, and we look forward to talking with you next week. Until that time, wishing you all chic success.